I don't feel like an expert at this topic. I'm trying to be a faithful messenger. Okay? And where are my notes? Oh, here they are. Nope, they're not. Here are my notes. Are these my notes? Just one moment. I had this already. Are y'all concerned seeing all these papers going, oh my gosh, how long are these sessions going to be? Oh my gosh. I have a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I have a bunch of stuff to hand out, so I'm trying to keep it straight. Okay, so there's a profound difference between walking in faith and truth and walking by sight and feelings. And so you know that. I'm telling you something that's really obvious, but I'm a Enneagram baby. How many people have done Enneagram? How many of you know your numbers? A handful, okay? Well, here's something that's funny. You don't have to know it just to just hear what I'm saying. In this concept, what was really revolutionary for me about this concept is that they have this thing called triads. There's nine numbers, and they group them in threes only for how the core reaction of groups of threes, and then how they deal with things. And I'm going to tell you this because I'm going to give you a clue in if you start feeling something, could be why. Do you understand the point of my exercise? Okay, so eight, nines, and ones, they're the anger triad. Okay, so eights externalize anger, nines fall asleep to anger, and ones internalize anger. Okay, so just you're going to see who you are just by how you deal by how you deal with stuff. The second triad is two, threes, and fours, and they are feelings and heart. And we got some twos and fours in here, let me tell you. So what that means then is that they are so swept up in other people's feelings, they often have a hard time being able to address their own feelings because they're so hyper-concerned. I'm like, well, let's just shut all that down. Let's just deal with your feelings with Jesus. Okay, so there's that. And then five, six, and seven are fear-driven, fear and head. Okay? And then let me get my thing because I'm not as versed on five, six, and seven. But what's really interesting is
head.
Fear and head. Okay, so five, six, and seven, five externalizes fear, six internalizes fear, seven forgets it or denies it. So you've got some friends that just won't deal with things. They're very likely a seven or a nine. Okay? So then you got people that just, they're so angry that they're trying to process their world. Or you've got people who are going, oh, they have such a strong little fear. No, there's a way that their engine runs. And so when they continue to press into the Lord, the Lord's going to redeem that. You may not ever get over that completely because that's part of the way your engine runs, but you learn how to function in the spirit world more than the natural world. Did you hear what I just said? You learn how to function in the spiritual world, spiritual perspective, instead of the natural thing. So there's something about that. So reason I'm telling you that is, as we talk through these things, I want you to pay attention because some of you are just going to get pissed. Then some of you are going to go, oh, I'm so afraid. And then some of you are going to be tending to everyone else. And then some of you are going, oh, this is just too much. I just can't possibly think about this. And we see it every retreat. Can I get a holla? Yeah. People get up and do their vision boards and go, girl, you've been checked out the whole weekend. All right, we know what your number is. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, stay present. Okay, stay present. Stay present in what God's trying to do for you right now. We talked about this last night. I know this. I've already heard this. It's too hard. And the reason I'm asking you to press into that is that when you see what God is actually doing, he's trying to set you free. Yes. That's the reason you're trying to go after this stuff. He's not cruel and he's not someone that just enjoys inflicting pain. He's trying to set you free from things. So let's take a few minutes and let's talk about Finding Nemo from last night. What are some revelations and things that you heard, saw? You probably know that movie. I think everybody but Laura Jones knew that movie by heart. She was like, oh my God, oh, it's her. I love you. I only pick on you because I can. Okay, so tell me what you saw that maybe you hadn't noticed before, since we're talking about devastation.
Daddy's got me and it's going to be okay.
Daddy's got me, it's going to be okay.
I just was paying attention to, just because of what you said, I was paying attention to not only the bad things that happened to him, but also the things that could be conceived as trauma that were happening to him along his journey.
Yep, things that could be considered trauma along his journey. We're going to talk about that.
Oftentimes we don't realize you just went through a trauma.
Right.
Name it that.
Right. You just went through a trauma. Name it that. Key word being through a trauma. Right? That's going to be that's a word for so many of you, because you're not going through it. You had it and you have stopped right there. Like Marlon. Marlon had a devastation and he stopped right there.
Right.
And he even was passing his trauma on to the next generation. Pay attention.
Right?
Who else had stuff, thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
I thought that Dory could enjoy the ride and play while fear and anxiety just completely ate that up.
Right.
She could actually enjoy being the whale. Woo!
Yeah. Right. And you know who you are when you get around somebody that's full of faith and love in Jesus, and you're going, shut the hell up. I don't want to hear about your faith right now. I'm upset and I'm mad at God and this terrible thing has happened. Like, pay attention to how you know, or you're the person that you're like going, I'm just like, I have so much peace. And you're like going, oh, they are still so very upset. They are so full of fear. Like, how do we be with each other? You know, like one of the things that I've been so struck by, and I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit, who knows, we'll just let the Lord lead this. Last year, no, I don't want to go there. I want to help me remember this thought from last year. So yes, Dory being able to just enjoy it, and she actually did that throughout the whole journey.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, is we want to think that Dory did that because she's like mentally ill. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not really sure that's true. I think that it was a choice. You know, it's like in that movie, I'm talking about our life. We get to choose how we determine our realities. We get to choose that. We get to decide what lens we're going to look through. Okay?
Well, one of the things that kind of supports that is the fact that she told Marlon, when I'm with you,
I feel home. Mm-hmm. Right. I remember. Right?
Because there was no other fish in the movie like her.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, so what about some other things? Yes, Anne.
So the two things that struck me last night were first of all, in the beginning, I forgot how devastating the beginning was. But Marlon lived in fear, and he didn't go outside of his house, and he didn't let Nemo go outside his house. They had lived in the house forever. The fear held them back from being out with the others. And then the second thing was that when he began his journey to look for Nemo, he was trying to do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Selah.
Yeah.
You get hurt, you get wounded, what's the first thing you do? Pack up the house. I don't want anybody to talk to me. I don't want anybody to see me like this. I just need some time. I just said, well, you do need time with the Lord, but you really don't need all that time all by yourself, because you can get crazy in the head.
Yeah.
We've all done it, and we also have friends who are doing it. Right? Currently, like right now, doing it. So, like, how do we live this thing? How do we live in community? All right? What else did you see from the movie? Then we'll move on. Yes, Laura?
His name is Marlon. Like, he's a clownfish and he's living in fear, and he's named after this great, brave, big, honking fish.
Wow.
And that's who he, like, became in the journey, right?
Good point.
Started out like a jokester and became a great fish. Yep.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, who else? Yes, ma'am.
Marlon kept saying, you can't do this. You can't do this. And I think we've all heard that or told ourselves that.
Yep. Yep. And then turns out he could.
Yeah.
He did. They did, right? Could do so much more.
I love that you had somebody that came alongside and at a later date and said, it's never held me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, done it.
Okay. I thought it was interesting that each person he met along the way gave him, taught him something. So we think about Dory because she did the whole journey with him, but Dory Dory gave him kind of joy and free-spiritedness. Bruce showed him that things that look scary aren't always supposed to be scary, or are trying not to be scary. Like, there's more to that. And then Crush kind of showed him to just roll with the punches and trust that you're gonna go where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, and Crush also showed him life in the fast lane, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is how you really get it going. How to let go of the sun. That's a Selah right there. Anything else?
Oh, when they were getting ready to go down the whales.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but how do I know something bad's not going to happen? Yeah. It's like, you let go. I don't. You let go and you trust, and that was the path to freedom. They were out the spout and into the free water.
Y'all are doing good. I like that y'all doing good.
I loved how Dory could risk.
She had a lot of courage. She led him into courage many times. Yeah. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Even though it looks scary.
Right. So here's a very small nugget, but a very big nugget. So we started the movie with a devastation. Was that his only devastation?
No.
Oh, that's funny. I thought if you have one big bad thing that happens in your life, you're done, right? You get your card punched and you're done. So I want to challenge you that you actually think that. I've already paid the piper. I've already gone through. You don't know what I've had to suffer through so far. Well, get some walking shoes, babe, because until you get to heaven, you're going to go from devastation to devastation to devastation. I'm not prophesying over you. I'm promising you the goodness of God in the middle of it.
Amen.
Because here's the thing, that as we're trying to go through this weekend, like, my heart for you is that you just sang, I'm never alone. There's another one in the fire. There's another one in the water. Holding back the sea. It's like you're trying to so wrap your head around the idea that I don't have to fear my life because my life has been held, is held by the living God, and no matter what comes against me, even if it's completely opposite of what I prayed for, that He is working good on my behalf. And sometimes it takes a devastation to make that a reality. See, it's easy for you to talk about the goodness of God and never having tested it, which is the problem with the church today. We love to talk about the goodness of God and nobody wants to go through a fire. Because the people who are the most powerful are the people who've actually gone through the fire with God and go, He saw me through, He will see you through also. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I really just want to bless you to get over this concept. Your idol is your comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
Your idol is your reputation. Your idol is my right. You don't know what I've lived through. Well, I don't give a shit what you've lived through. I know what I've lived through. I know what every single woman's lived through, and God will be faithful.
Amen.
You know why? Not because of you, not because of me, because of Him.
Yes.
It's Him that's on the hook, none of us.
Amen.
And so if you have not yet seen the goodness out of your devastation, press in.
Mm-hmm.
Press in. It's like when you start figuring out, listen, I got to this place with God that I have said, and I know I've taught this in other places. You've already heard this. Remember what I talked about last night? But I have got to a place with the Lord where if something comes against me, I have declared to the Lord and out, the devil is going to have to pay 100-fold for making me go through this. He's going to have to pay 100-fold. Or if I'm going to go through this, I want the fruit to be so outrageous that I know it's worth every tear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm down at the ocean today and I'm just weeping before the goodness of God and just so blown away by His presence. And these big old tears are just falling down. And it's like going, God, you've been collecting our tears since the beginning.
Right.
It's like, what anguish, what heartache can you possibly know? That God Himself is not right there holding you. So some of you just need, what you need to work on is not the answer. You need to work on the embrace. So this time, right now, work on the embrace. Because you're so busy trying to get your answers because you want to be in charge. Good luck with that. And just keep floundering around until you give it up. Surrender to the silence. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so here's some things about this concept of the tsunami of love. is last year the Lord gave me this word about a tsunami of love. And for those of you who don't know this, let me try to get you caught up real fast. The Lord told me that he was bringing a tsunami of love during a worship time. And I went, that sounds terrifying. And then I went on about my life. And he just kept bringing it back up, a tsunami of love, a tsunami of love. Okay, so then I go and I start doing research on tsunamis. So then I start teaching. Last beach retreat, I taught on tsunami of love. And then I taught it briefly at the unveiling, and that God was going to do something. He was going to rise up and was going to change the culture like a tsunami, but instead of devastation that you see all the ceremonies, it's going to be a tsunami of love. Because tsunamis cause terrible devastation if you know anything about them. So then that sounds fantastic. Except that when I was teaching about tsunami of love, sorry, let me not, my brain, everybody's talking at the same time. Just give me a second. Tsunamis are caused by devastations in the deep. They are caused by landslides, volcanoes, and earthquakes. Landslides, volcanoes, and earthquakes in the deep. No one knows about them. Devastations in the deep. Landslides, earthquakes, volcanoes. And then what happens, there is such a change in the terrain downstairs, down underneath the deep. There's such a change and a release of energy, because these winds, these wind and wave that you're seeing out here, these waves are caused by the wind that's blown across the surface of the water. Think of Holy Spirit blowing across you, right? Movement as the Holy Spirit's blowing across. But the devastations in a deep, something has been so changed, demolished, moved, that there is this like force of energy that has to come up, and it releases this force of energy, and this energy is just pushing the water up, and it has to be made manifest. That energy has to be manifested in some way. So this energy just starts pushing the water, not like this, but like the, think of it as like, Jesus. It is energy that is moving through the water. Like if you could think the little critters, energy just moving. It has to find expression. So it just starts pushing the water, and it has such force it will cut a building in half. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's unbelievable, a tsunami of love. So now you're going, okay, if that's what we're going to change here. So then I release this word. Then you're going through all this stuff. Oh, my love, mwah, mwah, mwah. So glad you're here. Come in. So glad you're here. Right here, I was gonna say, she's gonna have to pee first thing, so we gotta, so come in there. So that's a great word, it's awesome. I'm going, okay, Jesus, thank you for that word, and I was just praying into it. And so that was in September, October of last year, right? And then we leave the beach retreat, and then the devastations start hitting. Deaths, miscarriages, financial fall apart, child going into therapy for trying to commit suicide. This person doing that. Devastation, devastation, devastation. And everybody's going, oh God, what's that? What? We just said that God was doing something. So now here we are a year later. Should we just like throw COVID in there while you're at it? Which COVID is a liar, but we'll come back to that another day. But there's something about the Lord doing that. And so I'm just watching. It's like the Lord, I'm just watching how people are trying to deal with this devastation. And so then the Lord is like going, we got to do something. So what I'm wanting to give you this weekend is a firm foundation that is not shaken by devastation, except that which needs to be gotten rid of. A foundation, listen, here's the words, a foundation of love, so deep, because here's what the Lord told me this morning, that you don't fear devastation, because listen, Jesus, help me get these words out. I'm sitting there going, God, nobody wants to hear about this. Nobody wants to go here. It's so hard. Devastation's in the deep. Who would possibly want to talk about this? How do you possibly get your head around it? And the Lord said, whose ocean is it happening in? His ocean. Whose world is that ocean in? His world. So every devastation that is come against you, every devastation that would come against me, it's in his ocean of love. And it's in his world-bathed world. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like if you will take that fear of what could happen out of the hands of the enemy, your life will be radically changed. Yes. You have given him permission to taunt you with the future. You do it to your kids. You do it in your marriage. You do it in your own life. I can't, because what could possibly happen? Like Marlon. Well, you know what's going to happen? Life is going to happen. There's going to be great times. There's going to be terrible times. There's going to be great loss. There's going to be great gain. There's going to be all these things. Why? Because it's God's world and he knows what he's doing. So I just bless you to take that out of his hand. So here's, yeah, okay. The first question we ask in devastation is why? It's the wrong question. We assign blame to God. We assign blame to devil. We are asking terrible, terrible questions. And so instead, when you start going through devastation, let's ask how. How will I go through this? How will I learn more about you? How do you want to be God to me? Do you know that the book of Lamentations was originally called in Hebrew the word for how? How about that? And so they changed it to make it more understandable, the Book of Lamentations. We're trying to figure out how do we go through these devastating things. And I really want to challenge you that this book right here is a book of devastations and people living through them and finding God to be God to them. And if you will start reading it like, is he who he says he is or not? So, you know, I just, Barb said something. Actually, let me show you this. If you got your Bibles, go to Psalm 107. I have a bunch of scripture, but I'm going to give you more scripture to look on your own. But I just want to walk you through this real quick. Barb said something about this. And I just got this biggest ping in my spirit. Particularly look at Psalm 107, verse 24. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonderful deeds in the deep. Oh. Psalm 107, verse 24. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonderful deeds in the deep. And that is like so amazing until all hell is breaking loose. And it doesn't seem wonderful. And it doesn't seem like, oh, God is so good. So what I want to give you permission, this is what I'm finding. I just want to give you permission to go through the devastation. Because what I'm finding in these generations is not only do we not know how, we're not even willing to do it. You won't cry. You won't hurt. You won't even talk about it. You just hole up and act like everything's okay. You're not okay. And everybody around you knows you're not okay, but you won't even talk about it. It's like, what is that? How are you going to ever get through freedom? Like, God loved little Marlon. At least he had the courage to weep. Do you know in the Bible that they give you a year of mourning? Wow. A year. A whole year that we, you know, like they wear things on their arm so that when somebody's acting crazy or they just start crying for no reason, you're like going, I understand. I either understand because I have gone through it or I understand because I will go through it. It's like, what happens to us when we start actually talking about the real thing that's going on? Because what happens is, hold on. Yes, okay, thanks. People try to go from devastation to testimony. And it doesn't work like that. There's a process. I hope you guys can come over and see my house. I want you to come see my house. Because there's like, was devastation at my house. And I'm trying to be faithful in the moment, but I'm not trying to go, oh, God, it's like so good. It's great. I'm like going, whoa, it's hard. It's like, I just got to breathe a minute. I have to come look. And so the Lord told me, he goes, you may ask me any question, but why? And so I just stand out there and I'm going, this is kind of interesting. Right? But see, here's the thing, like, I'm speaking to you from someone who is like at the end of Nemo. It's like not my first devastation. I've been through multiple devastations. And I found him faithful every single time. And that's what I want to give you. So Psalm 107, when Barb said that, the Lord goes, you need to go back and look that up. You know, when I got Psalm 107 is when God promised me deliverance from Chuck's porn addiction. And it didn't happen for 10 more years. And then 5 more years after that for him to get his heart to wake back up. And so God gave me that, wonders in the deep. And like, you should see my Bible. I've got it marked and marked and marked. And he gave me Job 2 when I lost my son when I was pregnant at 4 months. And he gave me Exodus 23 when Karis was deathly ill at 18 months. And he gave me Jesus weeping with Mary when my grandmother died. And I was devastated. Where do you go in devastation? Who are you looking for? Because what God is doing, think about, let your mind think for a second about volcanoes, about landslide, about earthquakes, is that what once was is no more. It has shifted and moved, and there's like all this debris, and the landscape has actually changed. And so you have to, if you go see my house, in front of my house, the landscape has completely changed. And so you stand there and go, okay then, where are you in the view of the way things are right now? What do you want to say to me in the view of this right now? And the Lord just keeps talking to me, Jana, I'm trying to show you more of me, and I'm trying to show you more of you. So it's a twofold thing. We're looking for him, but he's also looking for us. Because guess what happened? The water came up. So we have we're Gulf Front. There's a policy that when there's a bad storm coming, everybody opens their garage doors, just beachside, and garage doors on the backside, and you let the water flow through. Okay? I'm not here. The hurricane came real fast, Hurricane 2, Category 2, and it changed real fast. So the whole city was not really quite prepared. So I'm talking to my neighbor who lives 2 doors down. I go, can you get the garage doors open? Like, I've never lived through a hurricane before. She goes, we're just watching it. She goes, when we open ours, we're going to open yours. When we open ours, we're going to open yours. It's going to be okay. So I said, what's happening? She goes, we've already lost 20 feet of the dune. So I'm going, 20 feet, there's only like 40 feet of the dune. Like, what are you talking about, right? So she said, we've already lost 20 feet of the dune. As soon as it comes, as soon as we open ours, we're going to open yours, but we're just trying to hold on as long as we can. Then she called me back about 2 hours later, and she said, you're never going to believe it. She said, there was this huge wave, and it just went right to your house. And it just swept right through your house. It took down your wall. It took down your garage door. And it took everything in your garage with it, and your refrigerator that was downstairs is now sitting in the street. And you're like going, awesome. So then you're sitting there going, so listen to me carefully. Your first moment can be what I told you, fear, anger, feelings, right? Let that thing come up that will come up. But then what's your second best response? What's your second faith response? What's your next? I'm not asking you to not be human. I'm asking you to let your spirit come right back in to truth. It's like the Lord, you know, it's like just telling the Lord going, okay, so it's actually your house. It's not my house. And it's actually your stuff that's in that garage, not my stuff. And like, if you want to take your stuff out in the street, it's your stuff to take out in the street. Do you understand what I'm saying? So then there's like this whole process of letting the Lord walk us through, having to come in and see the debris and having to see the work. And we're going to talk about this more as we're going. But there's the devastation itself is the Lord has you should see the view. When you go through devastation, the view of the ocean now in my house, or not for long because they're building, but it's incredible. It's like the Lord going, you can see me better if you will look for me in this. You can see you better if you will look for what you mourn. Right? What am I pining after? What are the things that I think are so important for me to have? And here's another one. What thing could I lose that I don't have enough faith to believe that God could repay? So like we were at Wednesday class and we were, the hurricane was hitting in that moment. And we were doing the song, You Just Keep Getting Better. And I kept telling the Lord, going, I am not going to lose my love for you over stuff. I'm not going to lose my faith in you just because I'm scared and I don't know what's going to happen. I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to let my love for you and my trust in you go just because something bad is happening. And I said, it's just stuff. I just release all this stuff to you. And the Lord was so kind. He goes, it's okay, baby. There's more where that came from. And so then, before that Wednesday, let me just back up here a little bit. I wasn't really playing. We're out in some field I wasn't planning to play in, so let me see where we're going. On Tuesday, two things happened that kind of changed the whole trajectory. Is we have branches down and trees in our house, and it was just, it was like a hazard. We had to keep parking our cars out. Every time we were gone, another huge branch would fall down. We're trying to keep our cars from getting damaged. Thank you, God, that they didn't fall on our cars. And Karis is dating a new guy, and new guy's dad brought Zach home, and this guy just happens to have a tree company. Okay. And so he says to Zach, hey, I'm going to come take those dead branches down before it takes the whole tree down. And we're like going, okay, that's great. We'll try to get prices on it. That's on a Monday night. On Tuesday, he shows up with two teams of buckets, like these great big huge things, trim down that tree, take all the dead branches down, our trees, right? And we're going, how much do we owe you? He goes, you don't owe us anything. And so I'm looking at the Lord going, and the Lord just said this expression, miracles in the moment. And I want you to write that down, because you're going to be looking for that, hopefully, for the rest of your life. Miracles in the moment. And then about an hour later, somebody said, I need to come by your house. And I'm going, oh, I'm really busy. And I go, what's up? She goes, well, I need to bring you a check. And I had just cried out to the Lord that morning going, I really need some support here for this, for us to do what we're trying to do. And she came and brought this like sizable check. Somebody just never gives. Just that day, the Lord said to me, he's like going, miracles in the moment. I knew what you needed before you even asked. I knew what you needed, and I was already working on your behalf. So then now on Wednesday, you got this thing just pounding the hell out of your house, and he's like going, miracles in the moment. Now, here's what I want you to check your faith. I wanted him to stop the category too. And his response is, I'm going to be God to you in it. Miracles in the moment. So I could have gone, God doesn't listen to me. God doesn't love me. God loves everybody else, and totally miss every revelation that he was trying to give me. Or just like you, you can try to keep your heart, your eyes so locked on his that my heart is breaking. This devastation is sure and true. It has rearranged my entire life. But I will find more of you, and I will see more of me, and I'm going to stay right here with you. Some of you won't even look at you when you're going through devastation. You look everywhere else, or if I'm going to be really honest, you just cope it out. Drink it out, eat it out, shop it out, game it out, whatever you do. You won't even deal with it. You won't even look at it because you don't know where, you don't know what to do with these emotions. You don't know what to do with all this devastation that you're seeing. So let me see if I want to do this right this second.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. No, it's okay.
How do you recognize that you're not? How do you recognize the difference between coping it out or not allowing yourself to like feel through the devastation versus like almost surviving and trying to just keep your head above water through the situation? Does that make sense?
That's a great question, actually. Why don't I tell you what other people did? Okay? Because if you will go to the hard stories in Scripture, you'll see how God was God to other people in these situations. So I wrote down, I can give you the Scripture, but you can look it up yourself. I mostly want to talk about the big picture story. You've got Noah and Joseph and Job and Elijah. These guys, so like Noah, Genesis, I think it's 6, 9 through 17, something like that. Here's one thing that I'm going to tell you just from Noah, just because it's so fun. This is a segue. So pause that. Let me just give you a little segue. When God was given Noah instructions, he told them, take you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives and then all the animals and get on the ark, right? But that was the order of thing: men first, then the women, then the livestock. But then God told Noah, when you come off the ark, take you and your wife and your sons and their wives and the animals and come off the ark, because it's a new promise, right?
Wow.
And Noah did not do that.
Oh.
He took his sons, he took his him and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and go talk about that with about the Lord with the 5 years. But if you have a question about the Lord always restoring co-heirs, always, it's always been his heart to do that. But we see in Noah, here's the thing that I think is interesting about Noah, is that all through these stories is like the Lord is talking. Hey, this is what's coming. Hey, this is what's coming. Hey, this is what's coming. And I'd like to challenge us, are we even connecting with the Lord on such a degree that we're even aware that he's given us a heads up? I remember saying to Ashley last week, man, God's given me like so many hearts. I always get hearts. I'm getting a ton of hearts. And I'm going, I don't know. I'm trying to not be suspicious, but I hope nothing bad's coming. I actually said that to Ashley. It's like the Lord trying to go, hey, I have a friend whose son was hit by the tree that her husband cut down.
Whoa.
And she said she woke up, and that morning the Lord said, I want you to know no matter what happens, I love you so much. And that carried her through the death and burial of her son.
Wow.
So it's like you trying to take what you have. I want you to understand is that the enemy, it's like you got your choices. You got God in here, and you got the enemy, but the enemy will wait for just a whiff of doubt and unbelief. He'll just a whiff of doubt and unbelief, and he will come rushing in and try to tell you a story that's anything counter to the truth. It's like anything but the goodness of God. So you want to be on guard for that. So God is talking to Noah about, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And then Doug goes through this whole process of trying to help him understand how is he going to survive utter devastation. And then in Joseph, it's like, was in Joseph when he is in charge of Pharaoh's people, and is this his first devastation? Do y'all know the story of Joseph? Was the famine his first devastation? No, he'd had a whole life of it, right? So all this training of, I know God is good, I know God can be trusted, wow, this is really hard, and God is going to sustain me, and how can I possibly keep breathing? And people keep telling me that they're going to go talk to Pharaoh for me, and they keep forgetting to work on my behalf. I want you to pay attention to how we think other people should be doing something on our behalf, but God himself is driving this story. He's trying to do something. And then in Job, it's like, you guys want to whack your theology way out? Go read Job 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Y'all read that story lately? Because the Lord starts the conversation. Who is like Job? I'm just loving Job so much. And so then here comes the enemy going, well, no wonder. It's like you give him everything he wants. And I don't know about you, but the first time I read that, I'm going, shut up, God, shut up, like, shut up. Like, don't. But then I saw what happened. It's like we have, I want you to, Jesus, pay attention to your pet pockets of theology that do not line up with the goodness and the character of God. Because we're going, oh, God, I can just hear this preacher, God does not test us. Bullshit. Yes, he does.
Yes.
Job was, I tell you, listen, God was not picking on Job. God had so much confidence in his relationship with Job that he said, I'm going to just stay right here with him because I know he's going to stay right here with me no matter what happens. And it's going to be even better for him when it's over. Oh, God, that I'd have that kind of faith. That we would stand under what, no matter what happens. It's like, I love God so much, but more importantly, he loves me so much that I would bank my whole life on the love of God. You can take away everything, and I'm still going to stand. And I'm still going to believe that he's going to be good to me. And I think that testimony is what we needed to hear on the earth. We need people who will go, my heart is breaking, But Jesus loves me, this I know.
Yes.
And it's like, we don't even have any of that sense of like, first of all, we won't even say my heart is breaking. And two, we're just like going, well, I think he does. I hope he does. I'm like, well, no, he does. I know he does. And then Elijah, oh, but let me tell you this fun thing. Like, if you keep reading these stories, like Noah and Joseph and Job, I mean, they're hilarious. You got to read them slow, and you got to let your mind, like, go past the story that you think you learned in Sunday school. Because there's, you know, if you haven't read the end of Job, where you got, like, Animal Planet, the first edition of Animal Planet, like he does the whole thing about, this is who I am. You need to go read that on a regular basis when you forget how big God is and who he is and what he's about. It's like it just strengthens my faith. Oh, yeah, I've made you too small again. I'm sorry, I've made you like this impotent, weak God. I need to remember who you are. But then, like, the thing with Joseph that was so fantastic, here's Joseph. He's gone through all this devastation, all this heartache. He's actually saved a country. He saved several countries through Egypt with the famine. And then, tucked in this little story with Joseph, you have, they go and bring Jacob, Joseph's dad, bring Jacob to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the most powerful man in the world, in the region at that time, right? And here comes this little doddering old man. And you know what Jacob does? He blesses Pharaoh. Just let your mind think about that. What if that was the point of the whole thing? What if the point of the whole thing was for God to show up to Pharaoh in such a way that he got to change the nations because an old man blessed a sitting king? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Y'all are looking at me funny. It's like I'm going, God doesn't waste anything. God's always working a much bigger picture than this little tiny thing. Joseph could have made it about him and his family. It was a much, much bigger story. So what would happen if you started asking, I'm crushed and there's been devastation in the deep and there's been things that have happened that nobody knows but me and you. And you're like going, why am I going all through this? Here, I just told you, because all that energy has to rise up and it has to have an expression and it goes and it changes the landscape and it changes the culture. Amen? Amen. Maybe some of you are going to go national culture, but maybe some of you are going to go culture to every place that you touch. Your energy, your love, this love fest between you and the Lord that devastation causes rises up and it has to have a manifestation. It has to. So then you get to go out and have this impact on the people that you come in contact with. It's unbelievable. What about Elijah 2, Elijah 2 Kings 6? Do y'all remember this story where they come? Elijah keeps hearing from the Lord where the enemy army is going to be. So the enemy army comes back and goes, we are taking Elijah out, taking him out. So they come and they surround him. And God loved Elijah's little servant going, we're surrounded by an entire army. Like, what are we going to do? And Elijah just prays, Lord, let this servant see that who's with us is more than what we see. Do you all know this story? Yeah. Go back and read it. And it says the chariots and the angelic army that was with Elijah, what if that's your reality all the time and you just don't even know how to tap into it? What if there's something much bigger? Y'all are so worried about the devil and his demons. Screw them. I got an angel army. I'll take you on any time. Amen? It's like I'm saying to you that you want to, devastation wakes you up to the power and the reality of God than playing church ever will.
Amen.
Okay, or doing like your little things that you do or your little fish on your car, which is fine, that's great, but is the fish in your heart is the question. All right, that's where we're really trying to get. So there's something really powerful about you understanding that God is not at all, God would never hurt me. Yeah, he so will. If it means that you will come to know him better, and you will come to love him better, and you will be the real you in the end. Look at Marlon. He is absolutely more like a great fish than he was a little tiny clownfish hiding out. This is going to piss you off, which I'm okay, as you well know. Marlon's whole thing was, be safe. Be safe. That is not the cry of believers.
Amen.
Say again.
Be safe. That's what Marlon cried out. Oh, be safe. No, go with God. Amen. Go with God and everything that God entails. Go with supernatural power. Go with healing. Go with supernatural comfort. Go with a confidence that you can take my life and I am with God. Do not feel sorry for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like we've become so paralyzed. Be safe. And then I sit here going, oh my gosh, this is like COVID Central. Be safe. Listen, I'm all about be wise. I'm all about be mindful. I'm not saying be stupid or reckless. Okay? I'm not backing down what I'm saying. But our charge, even to our children, is not be safe. Have you guys ever read the book Just Courage? Anybody know this book? Susie, have you read that? You would love that. He said, the whole author is talking about, we have raised up a generation of going, be careful, we need you to be, don't take any risk. Oh, there's so much danger, it's a big bad world. Oh, what are we going to do? And he goes, and all through the beginning of time, believers have been charging the gates of hell. Do you understand? It has been believers who have been going out in the plague, in polio, in all this stuff, going, I will trust God no matter what. Do y'all watch any documentaries about great, terrible things that have happened? And it's been believers going, I will trust my life to Jesus no matter what, and I will change the culture because of it. So our goal is, can we learn to listen and discern the will of God and work, not, don't get crazy on me here, learn how to walk with God? Can we be wise? Can we be divinely courageous? Can we be prudent all through Scripture? The Proverbs, prudent, prudent, prudent. Show me Proverbs that talks about safety, and I'll show you Proverbs that talk about wisdom. Because see, wisdom, safety's on you. Wisdom is on him. And you trying to figure out how to listen and do. Have you guys ever gone to foreign countries or to cities and you're like going, I don't know what's happening, but I can't get on this train right now. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know you do. Like you get in situations and you're like going, oh, the atmosphere just totally changed. So I could be safe and never go anywhere, or I can go in the world that my God-bathed world, and go and trust that the Spirit of God is going to go, baby, come over here. Here we go. Right? And just start walking in that. So here's some thoughts for you. Instead of the why of devastation, you want to have a conversation with the Lord of how of devastation. The how of devastation. So common themes that you will see in the scriptures that I've showed you, or have told the stories, but also through all of Scripture, these are common themes of devastation. Heartbroken, hearing God, trusting and surrender eventually, and God's goodness. Slow down. So sorry. Heartbroken, hearing God, trusting and surrender eventually, and God's goodness. So I tell you that, let me say it again, heartbroken, hearing God, trusting and surrender eventually. You know what? I really need to put that in a different order. Surrender eventually and trusting. Because people try to do this. Oh, I'm just trusting God. Oh, I'm just trusting God. No, darn, you're not trusting God until you let go. Surrender always comes first. So listen, surrender always comes first. So some of you need to ask this question of the Lord. It's just like blowing me up internally. What do I need to surrender so that I can trust you more? I have this printed out, but I'd like to read this to you if I may. This is from C.S. Lewis. And it says, "On living in an atomic age." In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. Insert anything you want to put in there. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you would have lived in a Viking age when the raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat at any night. Or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, of syphilis, of paralysis, of air raids, railway accidents, and motor accidents. In other words, Do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, and that is anesthetics. But we have that still. It's perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of a painful and premature death to a world that's already bristled with such chances, in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. We are all going to be destroyed if we are going to all be destroyed by an atomic bomb. When that bomb comes, then let it find us doing what sensible and human things should do: praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting with our friends, not huddled together like frightened sheep thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, but they do not need to dominate our minds. Amen. This is in 1948. Do you think that there's something new under the sun? Have you forgotten? And then I have on the back of the sheet, I'm going to give you something, what an average, if you were born in 1900, what you lived through in your lifetime. Like, I don't know if you guys have elderly parents. My parents are 89 and 91. You should go talk to old people who still have their minds. They're going, well, this is bad, but it's like not as bad as. It's not as bad as, well, my mama told me about this and we lived through this. It's like, go get some perspective. So I'm just not going to read that out to you. But I'm saying to you, I adjure you as the grown-ups on the scene right now. Just because our generation hasn't actually faced anything devastating, it's time for us to figure out how to deal with it. Because not only are we ourselves going through things, we are training the next generations. And you will be setting the stage. One day you're going to be the old folks. Right, Barb? Like, when did that happen that we became the old women? I don't even know, sister. I don't even know. And it just happened. It just happened.
You're the older generation.
Like, I was 35 and then I wasn't. By a long shot. But it's like you're trying to figure out, it's like I'm telling my kids, hey, I know what everybody's telling you, but let me tell you who God is. Let me tell you that God has not got off his throne and God has not changed his plans for you.
Right.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. COVID does not change the plans for my life. Mm-hmm. And so whatever God has in store for my life, he will do, because I can assure you that God is far stronger than COVID or any other thing that's going to come against us before we see him face to face. And so there's like this, I'm yelling. There's like, do you understand the, this groan? Oh, that you would know the Lord. Hosea, he has torn us into pieces. But he will come to us. As surely as the rising of the dawn. Yes, thank you, Lord. He reminded me this morning to tell you something he'd shown me a couple of months ago. I was here, Chuck and I were here with the Karis, and the Lord was very intentional. You need to get up and go see the sunrise. And I'm going, listen, I love you so much, but I've seen the sunrise. Can I please just sleep in? And he's going, I want you to get up and see the sunrise. So I go, okay, so I come downstairs, and I'm going, it's not, so I'm standing outside. It's not even started. Like, can I go get a cup? Nope, you gotta wait on this. So I call Chuck. Chuck, come watch the sunrise. I don't know if you guys know Chuck in the morning. He's gotta have his coffee. He's gotta go to the bathroom. He's gotta have another cup of coffee. He's like a worm in hot ashes, right? So I'm standing there going, come watch the sunrise with me. So he does this. Yeah, I got a good cup of coffee. And it was about that long. So I'm saying to the Lord, I'm cold. I want to go in. He goes, you're going to miss it. I want you to stay and watch the sun. So I stood there. It was probably 15 minutes later. I'm standing there, and the whole time, 15 minutes, I'm going, okay. I'm saying, he goes, just wait. Just wait and watch for it. So I did that. The next morning, we did this over and over. We probably did this 4 mornings in a row. So I said, what are we doing? He said, I want you to be so intent on watching me come why did you stand there and watch? Why did you stand there so long? And I said, because I knew the sun was coming up. He goes, exactly. Will you stand and watch the horizon? Because you know he is coming, no matter what. And so now, when I go stand, I'll just wait because I know it's coming. See, there's a reason why all through Scripture, as surely as the rising of the sun, surely as the rising of the dawn, he will respond. There's a reason why he keeps saying, we sing all these songs, the rising, as the rising sun and the setting same. They're trying to show you this is the constancy of the world and the God that you love. If you will just do that. So let me give you a couple of things and we're going to wrap up. Y'all okay? Here are some common things that happened to those men that I just told you about. Job fell down and tore his clothes. And then he worshiped. When David's son was killed, he wept and fasted and wept and fasted. And then he got up and he worshiped. You see in Joseph that he went and hid himself from his brothers and he wept and he tore his clothes and then he got his face back together. He kept calling on the Lord. As there is a posture in devastation, it is okay and expected for you to be broken. It's okay for you to do that. What, babe?
Say that again.
I don't know if I can. We'll try. It's actually expected.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I can tell you, but you go to my house and you're like going, I don't really get what the big deal is. You should have seen all the wreck, the mess. You guys have not been here, but there were these great big heaping piles of rubble. Mm-hmm. Entire households that they pulled out on the street. If you drive through our neighborhood, they're still in our neighborhood. The debris that's happened is like, so every time I drive to that house, I'm going, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Why would I thank God for my refrigerator sitting in the street? Because it could have been so much worse. Because God was with me right in the middle of it. It's like, you want to be able to look at the rubble that happened in the devastation with the Lord. Sit in the rubble with the Lord. So for some of you, this is going to be, you know, let's just go there, severe hurt. Like my friend who's miscarried her baby. Like maybe you've lost a child or a parent. Maybe you've lost dreams. Like your devastation of your dreams will eat your lunch. I thought I would be married. I thought I'd have a better marriage. I thought I'd have children. I thought I'd have good children. I thought I'd have straight and narrow children. I thought, it's like when the Lord comes in and starts shifting all that, you just want to be able to, instead of acting like, oh, I shouldn't have thought that. No, you are thinking that. Sit there with him and go, how did I get to this conclusion? And while you're doing that, you're just sitting here going, I know you're with me, and I know you're for me, and I know you're with me, and I know you're for me. But I got to tell you that miracle in the moment, I don't know if I'll take time to do this, but I have started charting every single miracle that God started doing since this started. Like these crazy things, like, do y'all remember when we had the hail thing that happened in Knoxville and then everybody needed a roof and siding at the same time? Because that's what it's like here. Everybody needs a contractor. Everybody needs, you know what I mean? So you can't get anything. So Chuck and I are going, we can't stay here forever. I mean, we have a life in Knoxville and oh my gosh, and we're going, God, we can't leave this wide open. And we just kept going, we need you to help us find someone that we can trust. And everybody that we talked to, well, I've got this job here and I've got, it'll be like 2 or 3 weeks. And we're all going, okay, we can't do that. And then out of nowhere, our former owner of our house said, hey, I got this guy that he hasn't done work for me, but I met him and he's gonna come look at my property and I thought you would want to come meet him. And we're like going, okay. The guy comes up and goes like this, I am so sorry that this happened. I've just been praying for you.
Oh, wow.
And you're like going, okay. So then we take him through the house and he goes, yeah, okay, I can do that. Okay, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And he goes, if we come back tomorrow, would that be okay for you? So there are people who haven't even started their construction. Our upstairs has already been repaired. They're over there, they're cooking. They're over there working right now. It's like just the provision of the Lord. And so people have said, you can't even imagine the stupid things. We'll talk about that in another session. Stupid things that people say during devastation. Amen.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Remind me to talk about that, okay? Do you know what the worst one was? People said, well, that's what you get when you buy a property in Florida. I mean, you should have known better.
What?
And you're just like going, you know nothing about the journey that I'm on with God. You know nothing about the testimony that God is doing in my heart and in the heart of other people. You know nothing about the goodness of God that's being poured out on the earth. Okay. And so here's the thing that Chuck started saying about our property. People said, here we are. We know no one in our surrounding area because we're just all the owners are rarely all there at the same time. So now suddenly all the owners are all here. So Chuck is supposed to be taking trash to the dumpster, right? And he's gone and gone and gone. Go, babe, who was it this time? Well, this is the neighbor across the street, and I had a chance to pray for him and his mom. Okay, great. So every time you send Chuck out somewhere, honey, I just met this person two doors down, and his mom is in the hospital, so I got to pray for him too. So here's like the little rolling evangelist just walking around, just praying, just talking. So he knows all the neighbors now. And then all of a sudden, this lady's going, hey, I have to do something. Can I get you coffee? People go, oh, I'm so sorry. And we would come stand at the bottom of the driveway and we'd just look through and they'd go, we are so sorry. You're just so unlucky. No one, these are the language, no one got hit like you did. No one got hit as hard as you did. Only you did. And Chuck and I would just go, you know, we are so grateful for the Lord. We are so grateful for what God is doing right now through this. So we're not going to paint this as a bad picture because God is doing something right now in our midst and we're just going to stand and watch it. So then these same neighbors came going, hey, I've got a construction person that you want to talk to them. We're going, oh, our construction is already done upstairs. And they're going, what? And we're going, yeah, God's just like taking care of us like step by step. So then Chuck and I were just praying through it. And Chuck said, I think we took one for the team. And I said, Chuck, I don't really like the sound of that. I don't like the sound of taking one for the team. And he goes, what I mean by that is that this is called the overflow house. And it flooded through. And by doing that, it spared the whole complex. Because God knew that he would take care of us. And I'm still trying to sort that, but there's something about that that's just right. Because I don't have to worry about God doing something to me because I'm so convinced of God doing something for me. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
So I just want to bless you as we break here, that when you have a conversation with the Lord about your broken heart and the things that you don't understand, He never slaps your hand for not understanding. He never, ever slaps your hand for not understanding. He doesn't even slap your hand for disagreeing with him. I don't like that you did that. I'm mad that you did that. Some of you just need to start right there with God. I'm really mad that you did that. That's not what I prayed for. It's not what I believe for. And I'm mad that you did that. Because see, what happens when you'll say that, that's like that refrigerator pushing right out in the street. And you just let all those things, all those emotions that have got you all clogged up, and now you just got this clear space that you and the Lord can just have a conversation. You want to clear the path so that you can see God better and God can see you better. Just let him take the debris out of the way. That's enough for now. I want to do another worship song. I'm going to give you another devotional for later. My ear is popping so bad. Oh, and I gotta give this out too. Laura, will you help pass these out? You want to start those, and you can start to start them and pass them around, or just get them going back around there. One is the thing I just read you from C.S. Lewis, when you read yourself, and then this is the second devotional. Yes. Why do you want to do this work? Because your anger and your anguish of your soul and your emotions will take you hostage if you don't.
Say that again.
Why will you go through the devastation with the Lord? Because the anger and the anguish of your soul or emotions will take you hostage if you don't. When we say that we're going after the deep things of God, this is where it's found. Revelation of God, revelation of you, destructions of lies, and new paths opened and old paths closed.
Did you say destruction of lies?
Lies. Destruction of lies. Revelation of God, revelation of you, we talked about. The destruction of lies. Things that you believe about you or God. New paths opened and old paths closed. Miracles in the moment. I can. New paths opened and old paths closed. Think about the natural, an earthquake, right? Shifts things, cracks things. A landslide changes the landscape. A volcano, lava is going everywhere, even underwater, even in the deep. There's still lava. It's changing everything. This is what happens when you go to these different places with the Lord. Okay, so I want to do a worship. Gave you the devotional. You'll do that before we come back at 3:30. And was there anything else, Caroline, that I'm supposed to remember? I'm going to release them after worship. So thank you for, because I had forgotten that. So after we get done with this worship song, I've been up for a long time now, today, but I've been trying to think about this, is I want you to have a place of safety to talk about some of the things that we need to talk about. So what I would like for you to do with your prayer partners, I don't expect you to bare your soul to them because some of you are just meeting, but I would like for you to pray for divine appointments this weekend. Divine appointments. So like Sarah and I, our prayer partners, like praying for her that she and I may not talk about our devastations, but that we're going to pray for each other that God will direct conversations with just the right person that will feel safe to talk about that. You'll understand that more when we get done with the exercise this afternoon at 3:30. Okay? Any questions? Y'all still breathing?
I already started that because my friend partner is my travel partner. Yeah, so I've already had a lot of divine appointments started on the ride.
Oh, good. Well, he doesn't waste anything. All right, why don't you hold your hands out? So, Father, we just continue to we want to know you more. And I know that you give us the things that you give us. You give us the family and relationships and the fine things and stuff, and you're so kind and you're so incredibly generous. But, God, we know that you're it. And so we just bless you for being the one. And so for wherever we are, wherever each woman is, God, take us another step deeper. No comparison. I just break comparison and any kind of competition or any kind of sense of I'm not enough or I'm more than, or just even that thought of self, we just lay that down too, God. That this is just a holy time between me and you and each woman and you. And just that we would just experience you in a way that we didn't even know was possible. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, why don't you stand up and we'll worship, and then I'm going to let you go. Do I need to turn this back on, Catherine? Let me see. Oh, turn this off. Got my blue lights on?